Feeling pretty spirited, pretty good about life, and have made the decision to come before you so I can explain the NIE.
Can we impeach him yet? Oh, my God. Good evening, Truth Seekers. 7 past the hour. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Indeed, can we impeach him yet? How many more wars does Chucklenuts get to lie us into before he's removed legally and peacefully? Joe Biden is calling for impeachment now. Why not Pelosi? How many times did he say, Iran is dangerous today? Like that's even relevant? Yeah, we have more on sounds for you from his press briefing today. We're going to play them for you in a little while coming up here. So get your Compazine suppositories ready, and I will give you a good 5 minutes warning before you have to insert them. It's just astonishing. It's so berserk. It's almost fun to watch this. Almost. We have other items on the agenda for you tonight, too. Whatever the big server problem or the massive internet problem was here in the Southeast, it has been corrected. We are all up and running this evening, something that happens occasionally on the Malloy program. This place is like Glitch Central. But anyway, we're up and running tonight. So if you email tonight, you may get a response. How's that? We have been doing what we call Christmas shopping here in the Malloy family. We buy a tree at the place where we buy the tree. We hang around while they cut the limbs off other trees, and then we snatch them, throw them in the back of the pickup truck, and use them to make wreaths here at the house. And mantle coverings that right over the fireplace, which guarantees that one day when we have a fire in there and the pine boughs on top, it's going to be a very bright Christmas for people 10 blocks away who watch our house go up. But, you know, we like that part of it. We seriously like the Celtic part of Christmas, or the Wiccan, Midwinter's Festival. Attitude of it all, the holly and the tree and the mistletoe and the caroling and the candles and the fire, the Yule log. Oh, I just love it. And of course, someplace in there too, for a lot of people, is a celebration of the birth of the Christian Redeemer. But we go for the Celtic end of it. One of the things that we truly enjoy is decorating our Christmas tree, or as some of our friends say, our Hanukkah bush. We love doing that. We have ornaments that we've collected over the years, especially Kathy. And by the time we finish, the tree looks like it's ready to launch. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And then we have a Christmas Eve party where a lot of people come over, and usually they look at the tree and say, Jesus, God, they did it again. One of the things we put on the tree are little, you know, those little candy canes. Now, I happen to love candy canes. I have to admit, it's an indulgence of mine. Candy canes, especially if you have a chocolate mint cherry ice cream cone and a candy cane. The only thing that can make that better is to have a glass of Jack Black nearby. But if you don't have that, the candy cane and the ice cream, the candy cane even, will do it on its own. So we went out the other day, went to the local mall over here, went to one of the party stores, went in and bought a couple of boxes of candy canes to put on the trees, because every year we and our guests eat them all off. We got the candy canes and got in the car with them. Kathy had to go back in for something, so I immediately break one open, give it to Molly, And I break one open and start chawing on it. And just for the hell of it, I decided to read the box. Do you know where the candy cane was made? China! I've got a candy cane in my mouth, in my kid's mouth, made in China. I just about lost it. Distributed by some fake P.O. box company in New Jersey. So I look at the candy cane, the perfect little red stripes, and I'm wondering, what the hell is the red? What's that funny aftertaste I have now? What's the white? What made them bend into the shape of a candy? All of a sudden, this is astonishing. So two things are at play here. The absolute paranoia that I have going now for anything that comes from China. You know, eating a Chinese candy cane is like eating fish from a Chinese fish farm. Would you do that? Hell no! So Kathy came out from wherever she was, and I said, you're not going to believe this. Look at the box. I was looking for the part that said ethylene glycol or whatever the hell that stuff is. And she said, what, China? Candy canes made in China? So we were on the road then. We stopped at the nearest roadside receptacle and threw the damn things away. And today, I'm happy to report, where did you go? Where did you go to get the ones made in America?
That would be Kroger.
You went to Kroger grocery store here. Do you all know the Kroger chain? A lot of people around the country don't know Kroger from Adam's House Cat. But went in, bought a box of candy canes, brought them out, and she said, I got some made in America. Candy canes made in China? No, seriously. That really sucks. By the way, the little entree to yesterday's program, all the religious claptrap, especially the one about the Pope, the Nazi Pope, saying that it hasn't been religion that has brought so much bloodshed to this planet, but it's been atheistic conquerors like Hitler. He should know, right? He should know. Hitler or Stalin, whatever. Well, Hitler, as Kate reminded me, Hitler and the German, the Wehrmacht, was not necessarily atheist. As a matter of fact, on the German uniform, didn't they all have belts that said Gott mit uns, which means God is with us? That doesn't sound like atheist to me. Does it to you? It's incredible to me that somebody who served in the Nazi army as this Pope, what's his name? Benedict? Is it Pope? I don't even know. The current Pope. Someone who was a soldier in the Wehrmacht, who has the audacity to claim that this was an atheist organization. No, I'm sorry. It's not. Gott mit uns. I got an email from Jasmine in Des Moines, Iowa, that I want to read to you because it's there's kind of a wave that rolls through this email. There is passion in this email. There is a crescendo of emotion that builds and rolls and roils through this email. And I want to share this with you, I guess, after this next break. Also, in yesterday's New York Times, an article about what is referred to as the business lobby pressing its agenda before the upcoming presidential vote in 2008. Now, what does that mean? It means that business lobbyists are racing to secure final approval for a wide range of destruction to health, safety, labor, and economic rules because they believe they can get a better deal in their destruction from the Bush administration than from whatever succeeds the Bush administration. And I went through this article yesterday. I thought, son of a bitch, this is why American workers and the American public in general, I think, at least progressives, liberals, Democrats, look at best askance at the business community. And I'm not talking about small business owners. I'm talking about the major corporations who have done everything in their power to become the ruling class. They are so close to it. We are almost in a corporatocracy. As a matter of fact, we're probably there. Everything has been privatized that can be privatized, and thugs from the agencies that used to be regulated are now doing the regulating. But when you hear some of the high points from The Sing and The Times, Perhaps like me, you'll feel your sphincter muscles tightening up. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
I brought up five.
It's Mike Malloy.
Come and win, my friend. I'm blinded by the end. I lost, you found everything you knew. You were for losing me, and now you know you're losing you.
21 past the hour. Bush sound coming up here in a bit that is going to curl your hair from his press availability today. I guess that's the term now, press availability. I want to share with you this email from Jasmine. She sent it the other night, and I'm just getting to it. She writes, I've sat silently at my cubicle for months listening to AM 1090, seething from all the seedy, shady dealings of Planet DC. I rack my brain trying to understand why there are people in the world that will only be happy with power. As I understand it, power has no goal, no limit, and they will never be satisfied. Sad and defeated, I sit at my cubicle while at work listening to these crooks wriggle and worm out of their dirty deeds, with no voice of opposition standing in the way, scolding these childish men and women who have infiltrated our democracy. So here I am steaming for 6 hours with this anger building up, but somehow defeated, and then I hear your jingle before your show, and I know it's Kathy's music, and then the voice of reason that I was dreaming about, that I need, crying out, my God, these people make me sick! Yes, I silently plead, yes, sick! And I feel better now, somehow, because someone was saying what I've been thinking. The soothing sound of justice booming across the air. This voice calms my stormy temper. I have energy. I want to rise up. I want to say how I feel. I want to say I'm a leader. I want people to listen to me. But then I remember that I'm surrounded by other people clicking and typing away at their computers. Sometimes a little murmur slips or a provoked scoff, quickly sucking it back for fear my neighbors will think I'm crazy. Then I heard of Evolve Fish Store. And I went there, and I found some very funny bumper stickers and placed them up at my cube. My neighbors saw and came over to me. I was afraid, uh-oh, I've offended them. But then they say, I hate these people too. And then another neighbor chimes in. Exactly. All my other neighbors reply the same. We all were thinking something's wrong, but didn't know we were on the same team. They all had so many questions. I had read Shock Doctrine and recommended the book as well as The End of America and AM 1090 on iTunes. People around me now were joined in the same voice, the same decent voice. Now when I make sounds of disgust, they are echoed or in sync with others around me. Yes, 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 I'm not alone. My points are many, but mostly I want you to know that when you yell, there is someone who can't yell, and you are a voice. And to the other listeners out there, please talk about your beliefs to others. Don't be afraid anymore to speak out. Maybe in a room of friends. You may be in a room of friends, not foes. So yell, scream words like what, why, no, stop, never again, you bastards. Silence and complacency is what got us here, and it won't get us out. Thanks, Mike. Yell all you want. Jasmine from Des Moines, Iowa. P.S. If you read this, read it on Tuesday. I don't work Mondays. That's a great email. Thanks, Jasmine. Woman's a poet. Woman's a poet. That reads like a Bukowski poetry. I swear to God it does. Whew. Thanks, Jasmine. Yeah, the business lobby is... That would be corporate America. And again, when I'm talking about the business lobby, obviously I'm not talking about, hell, we're in business for ourselves here, more or less. I work for a small business owner. It's not going to be small very much longer, but that's not what we're talking about. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about corporate America. We're talking about the people who have wrung every single ounce of energy that they can wring out of the American worker with threats and intimidation, the threat of outsourcing, the threat of closing a factory, the threat of moving an entire industry to another country halfway around the world. The most productive and most sleep-deprived worker on the planet but in Western industrialized nations is the American worker. Yeah, I know. Hey, don't bitch, boy. What about the 10-year-olds that are... Yeah, I understand. I understand that. But I'm talking about Western industrialized. You know, there shouldn't be any place on earth that uses a forced labor workforce of children and pays them $2 a week. You know, of course that shouldn't exist, but it exists all over the place. How about Jordan, huh? You've been keeping up on what's going on in Jordan with the sweatshops and slave labor camps over there from King Abdullah, huh? Nice? Yeah, uh-huh. One of our allies, of course. Anyway, the American worker who, in my lifetime, was able to, as the single breadwinner in a family, was able to pay for a car, pay off a mortgage, put one and sometimes two children through college, put a little bit aside for retirement, take care of an aging mom or dad, sometimes an immigrant from the so-called old country, make it, you know, contribute something to the church or the synagogue or the temple, whatever, and those days are gone. They're long gone. The American worker today is cornered. We'll tell you why when we come back.
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
Yeah, more indeed. 25 before the hour. It's coming from the. So here's the deal. Business lobbyists, as reported by the New York Times, nervously anticipating Democratic gains in next year's elections, are racing to secure final approval for a wide range of destruction to health, safety, labor, and economic rules in the belief that they can get a better deal from... whatever succeeds the Bush administration. Here's a couple examples. This is your corporate America at work, okay? These rapacious bastards. Poultry farmers are seeking an exemption for the smelly fumes produced by tons of chicken manure. Businesses are lobbying the Bush administration to roll back rules that let employees take time off for family needs and medical problems. Electric power companies are pushing the government to relax pollution control requirements. At the Transportation Department, trucking companies are trying to get final approval for a rule that increases the maximum number of hours commercial truck drivers can work. I wonder if their pay will go up commensurate to that. Automakers are trying to persuade officials to set new standards for the strength of car roofs, standards that will make them weaker than what consumer advocates say is needed to protect riders in a rollover. Huh? Isn't that nice? You like that? Business groups generally argue that federal regulations are onerous and needlessly add costs that are passed on to the consumers. Well, I would rather have a weak roof on my car than pay an extra $100 when I buy the car. That way, if I do get involved in a rollover, my head will come off. Of course, people who have the sense God gave a bag of doorknobs accuse the corporate thugs of trying to whittle down regulations that are vital to safety and quality of life. But we know that. At the Interior Department, coal companies are lobbying for a regulation that would allow them to dump rock and dirt, tailings, they're called, from mountaintop mining operations into nearby streams and valleys. Just dump it in. They say, well, it's expensive to haul it away. Oh. The vice president of the National Mining Association said that a Democratic president was more likely to side with the Greens. Son of a bitch. Now, a coalition of environmental groups has condemned the proposed rule to just dump all this crap into the street. Well, you know, what do these mining executives care? They don't give a damn. They don't live in little hollows and valleys and on the mountains, the sides of mountains in West Virginia or Pennsylvania or Kentucky. They live somewhere else. But a coalition of environmental groups has condemned the rule, saying it would accelerate the destruction of mountains, forests, and streams throughout Appalachia. Well, of course it would. But so what? Right? So what? Give us the profit. Now, a priority for many corporations next year is to secure changes in the rules for family and medical leave. Huh? Under a 1993 law, people who work for a company with 50 or more employees are generally entitled to 12 weeks of unpaid leave to care for newborn children or sick children or sick relatives or to tend to medical problems of their own. The Labor Department has signaled its interest in changing these rules. Which way do you think they're going to be changed, Truesinger, right? The National Association of Manufacturers said this law has been abused and has caused a staggering loss of work hours as employees took unscheduled time off for health conditions
that could not be verified. You sons of bitches.
Deborah Ness, who's the president of the National Partnership for Women and Families, an advocacy group, said she was, quote, very concerned that the Bush administration will issue new rules that cut back on family and medical leave for those who need it. Why, of course he will. Now, that could be done, for example, by narrowing the definition of a serious health condition. What is really a serious health condition? You have a heart problem? How serious is it? Is it as bad as Dick Cheney's? It's not? No time off, then. No time off. Dick Cheney doesn't take time off. Why should you? Or by establishing stricter requirements for taking intermittent leave for chronic conditions that flare up unexpectedly. What? Your blood sugar's out of control? You're on the verge of a diabetic coma? Well, you should be taking your medicine. No time off for you! You see, the Chamber of Commerce wants these changes. The spokesperson for the Chamber of Commerce, what's his name? Johnson? Is that his name? Well, that figures. He says,
we want to get this done before the election. The next White House may be less hospitable to our position.
It's beyond greed. It's into the area of evil. These son of a bitches will do anything to wring every single penny of profit out of every human being that works for them. And the first time they hear a squeak of disapproval or an attempt to unionize or even a sit down to say, look, could we get just a little bit better working conditions? Screw you! We'll go to China! Most of the Democratic candidates for president have offered proposals to expand the 1993 law on family leave. So it will cover millions of additional workers. This is why the National Association of Manufacturers, you see, is working so hard to stop this nonsense. Some of the biggest battles involve rules affecting the quality of air, water, and soil. Air, water, and soil. All they've left out is fire, air, water, and soil. Three basic elements for life, and these sons of bitches want to pollute and corrode and corrupt and destroy. The National Chicken Council and the U.S. Poultry and Egg Association have petitioned the Bush crime family for an exemption from laws and rules that require them to report emissions of ammonia exceeding 100 pounds a day. They argue that,
quote, emissions from poultry houses pose little or no risk at all to public health because the ammonia disperses quickly into the air. But environmental groups told the Bush administration that, quote, ammonia emissions from poultry operations pose great risk to public health. And they noted a federal judge in Kentucky has found that farmers discharge ammonia from their barns into the environment. Why? So it will not kill the chickens! The Environmental Protection Agency is drafting final rules that would allow utility companies to modify coal-fired power plants and increase their toxic, poisonous, sulfurous emissions without installing new pollution control equipment. Why should they? Why should they? If I'm a coal company executive or a power company executive, I goddamn well am not going to live anywhere near one of my power generating stations. Why should I? I have a home in Steamboat Springs. I have a home on out in the Wyoming prairie. I don't need to live near that crap. And then there are the drug companies. Republicans run the Washington offices of most major drug companies, and a former Republican House member, Billy Tauzin, if you saw Sicko, you know what I'm talking about. He is the president of their trade association, the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America. They want less regulation. Less regulation. What, our pills cause your blood vessels to explode? Well, by God, there's a bit of risk. There's a bit. It stopped your fingernails from turning brown, though, didn't it? And defense contractors? Defense contractors have not only begun to prepare for the next administration, they've begun to shape it. They've met already with Hillary Clinton and other candidates. It never ends, Truth Seeker. It's a show that never ends, isn't it? Huh? So the National Association of Manufacturers, it doesn't care. All these industry groups, all these corporate pissants who, for some reason, don't understand. I mean, even Henry Ford, the old anti-Semitic bastard pro-Nazi that he was, understood that unless the American worker could afford to buy his Model A, then what's the point in making them? And increase the wages of the people who worked at the River Rouge Ford assembly plant. All those years, what, 1904, 1905? Oh my God, you realize what he's paying? What was it? $12 a day? $15 a day? Holy jumping Jesus! As long as you're not Jewish. But these pigs now, don't they understand that a sick workforce, maybe that's what they want? Maybe they want a sick workforce. They go, well, look here. We've had 7,964 man hours and woman hours lost here at Acme Widget Company. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. That was just last year. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Even though we've made them sick with all the crap we make them breathe. Of course, we don't give them breathing apparatus. Why? Why will you do that? They're $15 a piece. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to move to China.
Well, what about the tax breaks we gave you to live here in Statesboro?
Ah, well, you know, we would stay. We would continue to work, but everybody's sick. So we're leaving. We're going to China. They don't give a goddamn about pollution devices. Matter of fact, they eat pollution over there.
This is what it's like here at the end, the last year of the administration of the Bush crime family.
You're gonna spread your wings. You're gonna retake the sky. But until that morning, they're gonna work you for peanuts. We'll be right back.
You worked three jobs.
Three jobs, yes.
Uniquely American, isn't it? I mean, that is fantastic that you're doing that. You get any sleep?
Jesus, the cynicism. A friend writes, "Hey Mike, today's gorge rising item is from Harper's. Kidnapping is not a crime, so says the Bush Justice Department. And it says here, continuing its recent spree of criminality and the alleged pursuit of law enforcement, the Bush Justice Department formally advised a British court last week that it, the Bush Justice Department, is fully entitled to kidnap foreigners, for example, Britons, off the street around the world and carry them off to secret prisons. The claim was formerly thought to relate to terrorists, but no longer. Now the Bush Justice Department asserts the right to kidnap anyone it suspects of a crime. The Sunday Times of London reports, America has told Britain that it can kidnap British citizens if they are wanted for crimes in the United States. A senior lawyer for the American government has told the Court of Appeal in London that kidnapping foreign citizens is permissible under American law because the U.S. Supreme Court has sanctioned it. The admission will cause alarm among the British business community after the case of the so-called NatWest 3, bankers who were extradited to America on fraud charges. More than a dozen other British executives, including senior managers at British Airways and BAE Systems, are under investigation by the U.S. authorities and could face criminal charges in America. Or maybe kidnapping. The U.S. government's view emerged during a hearing involving Stanley Tolman, a former director of Chelsea Football Club and a friend of Baroness Thatcher, and his wife, Beatrice. The Tolmans, who control the Red Carnation Hotel Group and are residents in London, are wanted in America for bank fraud and tax evasion. They've been fighting extradition through the British courts. During a hearing last month, Lord Justice Moses, one of the Court of Appeal judges, asked Alan Jones, representing the U.S. government, about its treatment of Gavin, Tolman's nephew. Gavin Tolman was the subject of an attempted abduction during a visit to Canada in 2005. Mr. Jones replied that it was acceptable under American law to kidnap people if they're wanted for offenses in America. He said that if a person was kidnapped by the U.S. authorities in another country and was brought back to face charges in America, no U.S. court could rule that the abduction was illegal and free him. Quote, if you kidnap a person outside the United States and you bring him there, the court has no jurisdiction to refuse. It goes back to bounty hunting days of the 1860s. Mr. Justice Owsley, a second judge, challenged Barrister Jones to be honest about this position. Jones replied,
that is the United States law.
Let's be a bit fair to the United States, shall we? This is not U.S. law. It is a Bush administration hallucination as to U.S. law. The sort of nightmare that comes flowing freely from the pen of John Yoo or David Addington, the sort of nightmare which refuses to recognize the sovereignty of foreign states or the solemn commitments of U.S. governments over the last two centuries in treaties and conventions, the sort of nightmare that refuses to recognize the law of nations referred to by the Founding Fathers and incorporated into the Constitution. Alas, it is the attitude of a criminal who imagines himself busy enforcing the law even as he holds himself above the law. It is the attitude which has brought our nation low in the world and threatens more damage still. Well, okay then, Bob writes. It doesn't get any more blatant than that. The whole Bush era reminds me of when the Jonestown story broke in November 1978. Remember? When each day brought forth a new horror and higher body counts. Every single day, anyone anywhere can read on the internet or the tubes the latest abomination of these filthy swine. And once more the age-old question bubbles to the surface. What more can this administration do? When will the spineless, craven, complicit Democratic leadership bring these criminals to trial? How much blank, or can't say that on the radio, poop just doesn't seem to encompass what I'm trying to say here. Here we go. How much more excrement are we going to endure before the collective psyche of rational Americans shatters into little bitty pieces?
Don't you wish sometimes that that, quote, goddamn piece of paper, end quote, was worth the parchment it was printed on? Gotta go. The Thought Control Police are here with my pizza. Regards, Bob. Kidnapping is not a crime, says the Bush Justice Department. Oh, my God. How did this happen? This is madness, he said for the 9,438th time. Don't you get tired of hearing moi say that? This is madness. This is an outrage. This is astonishing. This is unbelievable. I can't get my mind around this. This can't be happening. They're out of control. This is a crime family. It's a cancer. These people are sick. It's degenerate. It's unbelievable. What's going on? Help! How many times have we said that over the past 7 years? And it just keeps getting funkier and funkier, doesn't it? We've got funky coming for you right after this break. We have more funk coming up than you can possibly cram into your little ears, Truth Seeker. Trust me on this. We have the Mount Everest of funk. Funky funk coming from the Bush crime family in the persona of George W. Bush today at this press briefing. You want funk? We've got funk for you. Stick around. Get your funk. It's coming up right after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. It is about 7 past the hour. All right. Bush said today that that new intelligence finding that Iran had halted its nuclear weapons work 4 years ago has certainly not altered his opinion that Iran is still a danger. It has not altered his attitude or his plans. Why, hell no. When you are Jesus's brother, you don't make mistakes. Are you kidding? He says that the world, this is how sick Bush is, the sweeping, grandiose statements that come out of this half-wit's mouth. He says, the world needs to view the report as a warning signal. And the United States will not renounce the option of a military response to what, George? Oh, that's right. A response to the demons dancing around inside your head. I have said Iran is dangerous, Bush said. Today? And the NIA doesn't do anything to change. The NIA doesn't do anything to change my opinion about the danger Iran poses to the world. Quite the contrary. What's up is down. What's backwards is forwards. What's black is white.
Just because this intelligence estimate says something, that has nothing to do with the little rattling voices that go on inside my head.
You want to hear this psychopath? I know some of you right now are looking at the radio going, no, no, no! Well, let's do it anyway. After scolding Congress, again, for not acting quickly enough on his fascist legislation, you know, the Democrats have only assisted in contributing almost $750 billion to his murderous, filthy war. And he's always whining, well, they don't support the troops. We're about ready to run out of money. The war in Iraq has cost more now, I believe, in 2007 dollars than World War II cost. Is that right? Could that be? After his whining and bitching, Manor Monkey takes questions from the press today, starting with one about his lies about Iran. The press geek says, Mr. President, a new intelligence report says that Iran halted its nuclear weapons program 4 years ago, and that it remains frozen. Are you still convinced that Iran is trying to build a nuclear bomb, Mr. President? And do the new findings take the military option that you've talked about off the table?
Here's what we know. We know that they're still trying to learn how to enrich uranium. We know that enriching uranium
is what?
Is an important step in a country whose desire was to develop a weapon.
Ah, okay.
We know they had a program.
Uh-huh.
We know the program was halted.
Oh, do we?
And so it's, to me, the NIE provides an opportunity for us to rally the international community, continue to rally the community, to pressure the Iranian regime to suspend its program.
Jackass, they did suspend their program. That's what the NIE is all about. You kept claiming they were on the brink of initiating WW3 when they had, in fact, halted their program, as you just admitted 10 seconds ago.
What's wrong with these people? He says, we know the program is halted. And within less than 10 seconds, he says, and so, to me, the NIE provides an opportunity for us to rally the international community, continue to rally the community to pressure the Iranian regime to suspend its program. You, oh God, oh stop me, quick. Next reporter asked this moron about his history of lies, particularly about Mideast weaponry. Mr. President, Iraq's weapons of mass destruction turned out not to be there. And now Iran halted its program in 2003. Are you concerned that the United States is losing credibility in the world and now may be seen as the boy who called wolf?
You know, I want to compliment the intelligence community for their good work. One of the reasons why this is out in the public arena
is because there's a mole inside this White House that doesn't want me to keep getting away with murder, literally.
It's because I wanted, and our administration believed, that, one, it was important for people to know the facts as we see them.
Is that why you hyped the lies about Iran's nuclear capabilities? You thought we'd buy the crap a second time around, let you start a third illegal war?
Secondly, that, you know, members of my administration had been very clear about the weapons program earlier this year.
Yeah, your lies were very clear, Mr. Bush.
And therefore, it's important for the American people to see that there's been a...
What?
You know, a reevaluation of the Iranian issue.
Uh-huh. In other words, you got caught. And so you're standing in front of us right now doing your version of coming clean. Right, George? Don't tell us that you want us to believe you deliberately and purposely released this report because, you know, you wanted to admit that you were lying for years about Iran. Please, Mr. Bush, don't go that far. Yet another reporter It happens to be David Gregory tries to get Bush to admit he has and continues to sex up the weapons evidence against innocent Mideast nations to justify their illegal invasion, exploitation, occupation. Bush is not going to steer from this course for the duration of the briefing. Here's his model. First, he denies knowledge of the intel info on Iran.
Until a week ago, I just found out.
Then claims Iran is still potentially dangerous, thus justifying his outrageous lies. David Gregory says, Mr. President, when you talked about Iraq, you and others in the administration talked about a mushroom cloud. And then there were no weapons in Iraq. When it came to Iran, you said on October 17th, you warned about the prospect of World War III. When months before you made that statement, this intelligence about them suspending their weapons program back in 03 had already come to light to this administration. So, can't you be accused of hyping this threat? And don't you worry that that undermines U.S. credibility?
David, I don't want to contradict an august reporter such as yourself, but I was made aware of the NIE last week. Iran was dangerous. Iran is dangerous.
But won't be.
Iran will be dangerous.
But isn't now.
If they have the knowledge necessary to make a nuclear weapon. The NIE says that Iran had a covert nuclear weapons program. That's what it said. What's to say they couldn't start another covert nuclear weapons program?
I don't know, but I will try to talk slow like you do. What's to say Greenland won't build an H-bomb and, you know, drop it on Canada? Do we now invade countries because of something they might, maybe, perhaps, possibly, will do in the future? David, do we claim they're trying to start WW3 when we know it's impossible for them to do so? David? Oh, my God. It's the level of toxicity in this man's brain, the level of psychological deterioration. I mean, it's oozing in speckled sludge coming out of his ears, his nose, his mouth, his eyeballs. It's like watching some vile science fiction film. The beast inside has liquefied his brain. Yeah, for some reason he keeps standing there talking and saying this stuff. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
After Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council, the world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
We are at war with East Asia. We have always been at war with East Asia. And we always will be at war with East Asia. So back to the press briefing today. Another reporter asked a follow-up about the ridiculous World War III rhetoric, asking if Bush was ever told to, you know, back down a tad until some of this garbage could be verified. Sounds like yesterday's briefing with National Security Director Hadley, when Hadley kept contradicting himself over whether or not Bush had been told to
stand down. Reporter says, just to follow up, Mr. President, I understand what you're saying about when you were informed about the NIE. Are you saying at no point, while the rhetoric was escalating as World War III was making it into conversation, at no point, nobody from your intelligence team or your administration was saying, maybe you want to back it down a little bit?
No, I've never, nobody ever told me that. Having said, having laid that out, I still feel strongly that Iran's a danger. Nothing's changed in this NIE that says, okay, why don't we just stop worrying about it?
Okay, here's the part of his rationale that claims Iran might develop a weapon in the future, therefore that somehow in Bush world that justifies all his lies about their current capabilities.
Now, the Iranians, the most difficult aspect of developing a weapons program, or as some would say, the long pole in the tent.
What?
Is enriching uranium.
Larry Craig is there!
In order for a nation to develop a nuclear weapons program, they must have the materials from which to make a bomb.
Okay, got it.
The know-how on how to take that material and make it explode.
Boom.
And a delivery system.
This is the bomb-making 101 portion of the speech. Can't you see Condi with a pointer and a chalkboard just full of colorful drawings trying to explain it to him?
The danger is that they can enrich, play like they got a civilian program.
Play like?
Or have a civilian program, or claim it's a civilian program.
Yeah.
And pass the knowledge
to
a covert military program.
Oh, damn!
And then the danger is at some point in the future,
like a couple of decades from now, maybe
they show up with a weapon.
Sure sounds like it's a long way off from WW3 there, George. This son of a bitch is insane. Can you not hear it? I mean, you could just listening to this, you can see him leaning on his elbow, leaning across that podium, or as he was about to call it today, the pulpit, leaning across, eyeballing the reporter, saying, "Okay, now look. first, you got to have material from which to make a bomb, and then the know-how on how to take that material and, you know, make it explode. And you got to have a delivery system. But you see, the danger is, if they can enrich, they can play like they got a civilian program. They're going to play like they have a civilian program. Or maybe they'll actually have a civilian program, the devious little bastards, or claim it's a civilian program. You can't trust those goddamn Arabs." They're not Arabs, sir. That's what I said! And then they pass that knowledge to a covert military program. Oh, Jesus. That, what you just heard, this clip. I want, Kathy, play it. Have we got time to play it one more time? Number 78 here. Just play it in its entirety. This is a madman.
No, I've never, nobody ever told me that. Having said, having laid that out, I still feel strongly that Iran's a danger. Nothing's changed in this NIE that says, okay, why don't we just stop worrying about it? Now, the Iranians, the most difficult aspect of developing, a weapons program, or as some would say, the long pole in the tent, is enriching uranium. In order for a nation to develop a nuclear weapons program, they must have the materials from which to make a bomb. The know-how on how to take that material and make it explode. And a delivery system. The danger is that they can enrich, play like they got a civilian program,
or
have a civilian program, or claim it's a civilian program, and pass the knowledge to a covert military program. And then the danger is at some point in the future, they show up with a weapon.
Oh my God. Is that Is that how it works? Well, we better all bend over and ram our heads firmly up our rectums and hide.
Peace and security in our world is the willingness of free nations to retain aggression and evil by force.
Twenty-five before the hour, Barry writes, "What's so funky about today's press conference? Lots of people misunderstood Bush and thought he was incoherent. He was merely unclear, though crazy. He said that the NIA shows that Iran is successfully hiding its program. It's that old logic which we have seen since the 1980s with these wing nuts." Back to the press briefing. The spineless reporters are becoming bolder, asking Raisin Brain why any of his intel claims should be trusted now since he's lied so many times in the past. But Bush just stays on message, never answers the question. You'd think Carl was still feeding him lines. Iran is still dangerous, yada, 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 yada. Mr. Bush, how can you say nothing has changed? You may see it this way, but the rest of the world is going to see the lead as the fact that the nuclear weapons program was halted in 2003. You didn't know about Syria. In 2005, you have the same assessment, with high confidence that Iran currently is determined to develop nuclear weapons, and now quite the opposite. Why should you trust this intelligence if it's different from 2005? How can you possibly think the rest of the world is going to continue to the degree it did to rally around you and your pissy intelligence?
Because many in the world understand that if Iran developed a nuclear weapon, the world would be a very dangerous place.
Say it again, you stuttering monkey. It doesn't change the fact that you lied about their World War III-like abilities.
And I think this is a, to me, it's a way for us to continue to rally our partners. That's why I'm working the phones, and Connie Rice is working the phones. All of us are calling our partners, and I appreciate many of the comments that have come out of the Capitol.
I'm working the phones. Condi's working the phones. I'll bet.
Yeah, but he deliberately wanted the information out there, right?
Yes, he did. He did. He says, "I appreciate many of the comments that have come out of the Capitols." What does that mean? I'll bet Vladimir had a giggle in Moscow. So you're working the phones! Gee, and through all this urgent international damage control, you still claim you intentionally made this report public?
I was born at night, but it wasn't last night.
Just a couple more here, promise. This is the part of the briefing where Chuckle Nuts gets all homey and jocular with the press now that he thinks he's gotten over on them, right? Reporter says, Mr. President, I can't help but read your body language this morning, Mr. President. You seem somehow dispirited, somewhat dispirited.
This is like all of a sudden, it's like psychology 101, you know?
The question related to that, sir, is twice now on Iran and Iraq. The facts have failed you on things that you did not find common to American people. Senator Harry Reid is saying on the war spending issue that, quote, the president is not leveling with the American people.
On the war spending issue?
Yeah. Are you, in fact, troubled by...
Why don't you clarify that for me?
Well, are you
what aspect of it that I don't think we ought to fund the troops?
No, sir.
I think we need to fund the troops. I submitted a supplemental last February. We've got men and women in combat. We've got people risking their lives for the United States of America. And this Congress has yet to fund them.
Another big, bloody lie. Congress has barely spent a penny, Mr. Bush, on anything except your bloody war.
And it needs to. And it needs to fund them without telling our military how to conduct this war. You know, arbitrary dates for withdrawal are unacceptable.
Arbitrary dates? How about any date? Can they ever come home?
Particularly given the fact that the strategy is working. It's working.
It's working. It's working. It's working. The strategy is working. Just two more. I promise. Come on, you can take it. Stay with me. Stay with me. Back to Iran and Bush's obvious Pinocchio problem. Reporter says, my question, sir, is, are you feeling troubled about your standing here yesterday, about perhaps facing a credibility gap with the American people?
I'm not feeling pretty spirited.
No, that's the Jack Black.
Pretty good about life. And have made the decision to come before you so I can explain the NIE. And I have said Iran is dangerous.
Yeah. You've said it 10 times in the last 30 minutes.
If Iran shows up with a nuclear weapon...
Shows up?
At some point in time, the world's going to say, what happened to them in 2007?
Oh.
How come they couldn't see the impending danger? What caused them not to understand that a country that once had a weapons program could reconstitute the weapons program?
Yeah.
How come they couldn't see
that
the important first step in developing a weapon is the capacity to be able to enrich uranium? How come they didn't know?
Where's my mom?
That capacity, that knowledge could be passed on to a covert program.
Like my mom!
What blinded them?
What blinded them?
To the realities of the world.
Where's my
mom?
It's
not going to happen on my watch, Mark. And so, you know, kind of psychology 101 ain't working. Just not working.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is exactly the children of the future will ask us bunch of rhetorical garbage Bush used to justify the attack on Iraq. Almost verbatim, the same rhetoric.
Why didn't the world realize Saddam had WMDs?
Why didn't they stop him from making mushroom clouds? It's as phony now as it was 5 years ago. Like Bush said, it ain't working anymore. And so kind of psychology 101 ain't working. You can't analyze me, you rotten sons of bitches. And I see the guy in the back row there with two heads. Don't try to hide one behind the camera. Where are you from, buddy? Huh? Where are you from that they got people with two heads walking around? Where are you from? Is he part of the press corps? And the other one over there with the big, long, slimy tail sticking out of your coat. I see it. Last one. Just for grins and giggles, a Q&A about the campaign trail. Now, anybody who didn't know that Candy Crowley was Bush's number one fan in a spooky kind of Kathy Bates sort of way, should have no doubt after this clip. No wonder she attacked John Kerry's cheesesteak-eating preferences during the campaign in 2004. Remember that? Huh? The reporter says, a question on the upcoming elections that does not require you to take any, you know, to take sides. What is your feeling right now, Mr. President, about the tone of the campaign, and in particular, on the Republican side, some of the talk on immigration?
The next 3 months, you and your august colleagues.
That's his favorite new adjective, isn't it? Wow, it's a noun, too. August and august. Woo!
were trying to get me to be pundit in chief, and I unfortunately practiced some punditry in the past. I'm not going to any further.
You miss it?
Yeah, I'm going to miss the campaigning. I like campaigning, you know. And if somebody ever says they don't like campaigning, they're not telling you that either. That they're a lousy candidate. I mean, it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy the crowds. I enjoy the noise.
I enjoy the great Coke.
I enjoy giving that message. I enjoy the competition. And yeah, I'm gonna miss it. On the other hand, what I'm not gonna miss is what some of us went through in 2000, which was getting on an airplane and having my friend Candy Crowley passed a virus around.
He's lucky she didn't sneeze to blow a hole in the fuselage of Air Force One.
I got a respiratory infection.
Is that what they call mono these days?
So did half the press corps. They got off the plane. I didn't get to get off the plane. And it was tough. It was a tough experience. Well, look, I'm not dissing Candy. I said my friend.
Candy Crowley, just identified by George W. Bush as his version of Typhoid Mary. Oh, that's rich. That's so rich. We're all having fun here in the press room today, aren't we, boys? Yeah. You know, the Iranians, they play like they don't have a...
Now Republicans and Democrats and independents too. Well, they all like what W's done. I know that you will too. George W. Bush will give a country a push. Put us back on the road to what's right and true. George W. Bush is gonna give us a push. He's the man who'll do what's right for me and you. He's the man who'll do what's right for me and you.
We still at war. It's in our country's interest to find those who would do harm to us and get them out of harm's way.
Jesus, God. 10 before the hour from Jack. Good evening, Mike. It's maddening, isn't it? Bush is like a rabid leech, isn't he? And this corporate puppy press, they seem to fall right in line with his every word. Just once I like to see them all have the courage to walk out on Bush, but they won't. They're afraid of losing their overpaid, cushy jobs. Hey, there's a special on ice picks. We can get a good deal on a case of them. Hickory handles, too. Oy vey. Jack. From Doc. Mike, I usually download the podcast and listen at the end of my day, but tonight I knew this would be a hoot, so I am listening along. I was telling my colleagues at work about a year ago that I thought the only logical reason this man, Bush, to be so retarded was three words: lead paint chips. I remember when I was a kid, probably like you, and Mom would warn us not to eat the peeling paint chips. I guess he didn't get the memo. Actually, he probably has a bowl of them on his desk in the Oval Office, much like Reagan's jelly beans. Just a thought. Doc in Santa Barbara. P.S. I know you won't read this aloud, but many thanks to both you and Kathy for your great work. From Jeff in Pittsburgh, California. Mike, I would like to announce that I, Jeff, have acquired the knowledge to build a nuclear bomb. I discovered it in my Mr. Wizard chemistry set. I will now reopen a bottle of Whitetail Chardonnay and get bombed. You can't listen to this stuff and stay sane unless you get funky. Okay, there's one more. We missed it earlier. This is
Remember Michael Dukakis and the Willie Horton case? You should. This reporter now asked Bush about his recent conversations with King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia and that terrible rape case there. The reporter says, "At the Annapolis summit, Mr. President, you used your influence to get Saudi Arabia to the table, but I wonder whether now you will use your influence to do something about the Saudi rape case that's gotten so much international attention. What goes through your mind when you hear about a 19-year-old Saudi woman getting gang raped by seven men, and the Saudi court blames the victim and sentences her to 200 lashes? You spoke to King Abdullah by telephone in the last couple of weeks. Did you press him on this case?"
My first thoughts were these. What happens if this happened to my daughter? How would I react?
The rape or the lashes?
And I'd have been very emotional, of course. I'd have been angry at those who committed the crime, and I'd be angry at a state that didn't support the victim. And our opinions were expressed by Dana Perino from the podium.
And about it personally.
I talked to King Abdullah about the Middle Eastern peace. I don't remember if that subject came
but
up.
But if it's that important to you, why wouldn't you bring it at that level, bring it directly up to King Abdullah?
Plenty of time. He knows our position loud and clear.
Yeah, he knows we'll support his medieval dictatorship even if they start burning rape victims at the stake. Because, you know, we got important business relations. Yeah, first time I thought about it, I felt like Mike Dukakis sitting up there when old, what's his name from CNN, asked him in one of them old presidential debates, "Mr. Dukakis, what would you do if you found out your wife had been raped?" Did you press King Abdullah about it personally? Well, I don't remember if that subject came up. See, it's hard for me to remember cases like this, where a rape victim is sentenced to 100 lashes, and then when she protests, the courts up it to 200 lashes. I don't remember things like that. You know, it's hard enough for me to remember about what these goddamn Iranians are doing. I don't remember that. And besides, I don't pay attention to what my business partners do. You know, as long as I get the check every month, I don't care. As long as the price of oil keeps going up. Son of a bitch, you want me to get on King Abdullah? Are you out of your mind over some little split tail that gets raped and 200 lashes? Are you kidding? You think I'm going to get upset with my boy King O. Abdullah, the one whose hand I clutch and kiss and love on, just over some broad who gets... Now, I'll give you an answer.
If it was my daughter, I'd...
How does that... Does that warm your heart? We're back to Psychology 101, aren't we? Huh? I don't give a damn what the Saudis do. Come on, man. I'm an American. Frankly, I think we ought to have the same thing over here. You know, I really do. But I'm not going to get tough with the Saudis. It was all I could do. Me and Condi pulling on his beard to get him to show up at that dumbass meeting I had in Annapolis. Wasn't that something? How about that meeting? How about that peace conference, huh? Did I do good there, boys, didn't I, huh? Huh? Rape case. I don't remember if I asked him about it. 200 lashes? Well, you know, you can only laugh at this so much. You can only hoot and holler. I don't care if you're in the snake pit that is the press briefing room, or if you're sitting here doing some half-ass talk radio show. You can only laugh so much at this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's not very funny anymore. We'll be back after the break. We're going to take your phone calls. So if you're on hold, finally. If you're not on hold, the number is 800-989-1480. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. A couple of emails here and then to your phone calls. This is from Mike in Connecticut. He writes, "Hi, Mike. I swear to God, sometimes I think I'm living in the movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where seemingly normal human beings are taken over by aliens. CBS News says the president's overall approval ratings have risen from 35% in October to 40% now, and his ratings on handling the economy and the war in Iraq have also improved." What the hell does he have to do, Mike writes, to turn people against him? Put puppies into a wood chipper? Maybe they have been invaded by something that sucks the rational mind out of them. Mike from Connecticut. And then John wrote this, "Mike, I saw something on YouTube that ripped my heart out. One of those homemade videos, pictures set to a soundtrack. The track was Leaving on a Jet Plane, and the pictures were simply of soldiers boarding planes, hugging their wives, girlfriends, and kids. As simple as that. Somehow I always felt for the Iraqis, for their kids who are ripped to pieces, or their moms and dads dying on the streets, or in their homes, or in the gutter. After watching that video, it suddenly is hitting me like a ton of bricks, what it means for the American soldiers to go to Iraq. For the first time since the war started, I feel just as sorry for them. Hell, they've been lied to again. How obscene the way their patriotism and idealism have been prostituted and abused and made a sick joke of. What Bush is doing to the American soldier is just as sick as what's being done to the Iraqis. I know it's obvious. It doesn't take a genius to understand this, but that little video has really done it to me. It's made me as sad as watching pictures of dead Iraqi children. For heaven's sake, somebody stop this madness." John. John, I don't think anyone's going to. I really don't. I just don't. I'm not trying to be a cynic. But I don't think anyone's going to. All right, let's do some phone calls here, starting with Scott in Federal Way, Washington. Scott, welcome to the program.
Yeah, you're right about that. And it damn sure is not going to be the Democrats. You know, all you have to do is go to either WhiteHouseForSale.org or OpenSecrets.org and look at the campaign contributions that they're getting from all these corporations and stuff. Yeah. All the money is doing is just running back over to the other side, and these businesses are hedging these bets and stuff. And, you know, all these top-tier candidates and stuff like that, that's all they're doing. And, you know, and John Edwards, and I know people seem to think that the sun rises and sets around him, but, you know, he's just as bad for a lot of this stuff as the rest of them. And for somebody who is so concerned about poverty and stuff like that, now here we find out that he voted for the bankruptcy bill. So, you know, all of this kind of stuff and all of these corporate business interests lobbying these people and stuff like that, you know, I don't know what to tell you, but those are not the people to be running after. But you were talking something about when you were talking about the corporate interest and you were talking about the lifestyle, middle-class lifestyle and stuff. And I remember I talked to you one time about how my grandfather had worked in the packing houses and stuff like that, those kinds of jobs where you could support families and stuff like that. And, you know, the middle-class lifestyle. And for the younger generation that doesn't understand it and is too lazy to go to the library and look it out, if they look at TV video reference, look at All in the Family, Archie and Edith, the kind of job that he had. You know, they weren't educated. Or go back further, you know, to the Honeymooners with Ralph Cramden and Alice, or even the show The Life of Riley, you know, not, you know, talking about the storylines, but just to get the kind of gist of the kind of lifestyle, you know, that the middle class was.
Right.
You know, that, you know, it did not just spring up by so-called phony libertarian values or, you know, any of this kind of stuff. You know, it wasn't a fancy lifestyle, but, you know, it was comfortable and, you know, people lived decently and, you know, people were not out scrounging and, you know, they didn't have to work 2 and 3 jobs and stuff. You know, they were able to live a halfway decent lifestyle.
Sure.
And, you know, for some reason, you know, people just don't seem to understand that nowadays, and it just seems to be missing. So, you know, All I have to tell you is that, you know, people think that there's going to be some kind of a, you know, big populist change with, you know, Democratic candidates, at least the top tier. You know, I'm here to tell you that's not going to be.
So it's just going to be the same old, same old.
Well, you know, what's the old saying? Follow the money.
Yeah.
And you know, and I, as I pointed out to you before, between Hillary and Obama, the two of them have raised more money together than all of the Republican candidates put together. So what does that tell you?
Well, it tells me that somebody is certainly making sure that those two are well-financed.
You know, somebody is out there definitely hedging their bets.
Yeah.
It definitely. So, you know, I don't know what to tell people as far as that is concerned. You know, then other than, you know, work from the grassroots and work for getting third and fourth and fifth parties and stuff, people that are actually parties and candidates that are actually going to represent their values, because this thing about getting a majority of Democrats and stuff, well, they, you know, that's a lot of nonsense. I'm just not buying that stuff.
You sound very cynical.
Well, I sound very realistic. You know, you just look at the history and look at the, you know, the past 20 years and stuff of what's been going on in the parties and stuff like that. And,
sure.
You know, they, you know, that's what you have to pay attention to.
That's true. That's very true. Scott, thanks, man. Good to hear from you.
I appreciate
what you had to say. Sam is calling from Dunedin, Florida, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Mike. Listen, I am so grateful for your show tonight. You and Kathy and Molly, love you all, and you've done a tremendous job this evening. On, I was listening on, you know, demonstrating Bush's insanity. I was listening to Sirius Radio earlier today and listening to this press conference, and I was hearing in my mind, I was hearing him melt down. I mean, just actually imploding, you know, inside his brain. And then I had to go find it on C-SPAN or something and actually look at it. And I was just stunned. And I'm so grateful for your play-by-play action on that thing. And you've taken us through all different kinds of emotions, and now we're back here to, you know, oh my God, you know, what do we do? One of the things I really wanted the people that were, you know, talking to Bush to say was, you know, well, what about back in 76, you know, when Cheney and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and President Ford gave Iran, you know, the nuclear technology?
Sure.
What about Pakistan? We knew all along that A.K. Khan was doing this stuff and selling this stuff. I mean, this is just insanity. So I have a little bit more hope than your previous caller. I mean, I just have to believe that, you know, people are going to wake up, and we are fighting a beast. You mentioned a beast, and that's what it is. It's a beast. I don't know if we can slay it, S-L-A-Y, but I think we can stay it, S-T-A-Y.
Uh-huh.
And we just have to continue in the fight. I mean, it's just that simple. We just have to continue to get up every day, support you, support your radio, support people telling the truth, and fight on.
Speaking of support, how's your campaign coming?
Well, we had our first meeting last Saturday for stuff. I'm looking for 20,000 people around the country to send me $10. It turns out that there's going to be another person jump in who's going to be a millionaire in the race here in Pinellas, and I'm going to, you know, run as an independent thinking Democrat and just try to get out there and tell the truth. Then there'll be a primary, and we'll just take it as it comes.
What's your website again, Sam?
It's samsimpsonforcongress.com, samsimpsonforcongress.com, and I'll be writing a blog a little bit later tonight on that same press conference, but I was just so blown out by your presentation, Mike, really. It was just totally classic, one of the best shows you've ever done this evening.
Well, thanks, Sam. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, take care.
Okay,
take care.
Bye-bye.
samsimpsonforcongress.com. Is that it, Kathy? Yeah. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Revolution. Time for retribution.
Thank you. We've investigated every single complaint against the detainees and the allegations by people who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that have been trained to disassemble. That means not tell the truth.
Is that what that means? Is that what that means? Jess is calling from Grand Junction, Colorado, who's listening on the internet. Jess, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're on the air, Jess.
All right, great. I just had a question for you. Uh-huh. You stated that Iran probably can't be an issue for the next two decades if, in fact, they had the intent on making weapons of mass destruction. Do you have children?
Yeah, I have grandchildren.
Okay. So that doesn't worry you in the least bit?
I don't understand. I grew up, I have food in my refrigerator older than you are. Let's just get that established. I grew up, screw Iran. I grew up, Jess, under a constant threat of massive thermonuclear war from a real potential attack from the Soviet Union. I remember when the United States and the Soviet Union almost went to war as steamships from the Soviet Union approached Cuba. And John Kennedy said, if you try to offload the missiles, we will attack you. So any attempt, Jess, for you to use this 15-cent bull hockey about Iran to ask me if I'm scared or my kids are going to be scared, you must be out of your mind. I've grown up with this. No. Hold on. I've grown up with this all my life. Who knows what nation might possibly, perhaps, maybe, someday, have a nuclear weapon? Are we going to invade them all, Jess? Where do you draw the line? Israel has nukes. Shall we invade them? How about India? How about Pakistan? How about China? How about France? How about Great Britain? Who do you want to invade, Jess?
No. I'm not saying invade them.
Who do you want me to be worried about?
I'm just stating that in this day and age, I mean, aren't you the slightest bit worried? I mean, with my kids, I see what I've grown up with, and it obviously has not been what you grew up with.
Jess, what am I supposed to be worried about the Iranians? What is it that you think I should be worried about? Look, put it in context. The United States of America has approximately anywhere from 8 to 18,000 thermonuclear weapons. They are perched atop intercontinental ballistic missiles. If for any reason the Iranians develop the capability to launch them, they're not going to carry it over here, Jess. If they develop the capability to launch an ICBM that would travel halfway around the world and strike America, how long do you think it would take from the moment they started building such launch pads until whatever American was president turned their whole country into glass?
Well,
get real.
No. You're doing the same thing Mr. Savage did to me earlier. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, you know, for me, I'm worried that my kids will grow up in that threat, that, you know, being afraid of that.
Jess, that's been a reality on this planet since August 6th, 1945.
And I understand that.
Okay, well then I don't know what the hell you're talking about. There has always been nuclear weapons. There will always be nuclear weapons. You can't uninvent them. There will also always be psychopaths who are in charge of these nuclear arsenals, like Vladimir Putin, like George W. Bush, like Musharraf, like whoever happens to be in charge of China next week. I don't understand what the deal is with you about Iran. Iran is a pimple on the ass of history. It doesn't mean anything.
I understand that, but all it takes
You understand it, why are you asking me the questions you're asking me?
All I'm asking is you stated that they can come up with them in 2 decades.
No, and, that's not what, that's not, I have no idea. I frankly don't care when they, look, as far as I'm concerned, we already have 20 or 25 countries too many that have nuclear weapons.
No,
okay?
I agree.
So I don't care about Iran. I don't give a damn about Israel. I couldn't care less about Russia. China makes me sick. Okay? If you want me to worry about nuclear weapons, you're going to have to go back to the time before I was 10 years old, and all of a sudden, nuclear death became a reality for me, whatever kids I might have, whatever grandkids I might have, whatever kids they might have, to the umpteenth generation. Jess, you need to get your head on straight. Stop worrying about Iran. Worry about U.S. government foreign policy and how it produces countries like Iran or India or Pakistan or any country to whom we have given nuclear technology. I'm more worried about what's happening to this country for my children's sake than I'm worried about Iran.
You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's about 26 before the hour. No, I really do not have any fear where it concerns Iran. And Jess, if you're still listening, if you really want, if you're really concerned about your children, as most right-thinking adults would be, or parents would be. And eventually, unless something happens to you, you'll have the same thoughts about your grandchildren. If you're really concerned about that, then rather than worry about Iran, worry about the United States. Work to bring into power people who understand the absolute necessity of nuclear disarmament. Unilateral nuclear disarmament, which sets an example. Nuclear disarmament that involves the two countries on Earth that control probably 99% of mega death, nuclear destruction, thermonuclear war, nuclear winter, and that would be the United States and Russia. Iran is inconsequential, but in worrying about Iran, you are doing exactly what the Bush crime family wants you to do. They have reframed the issue of nuclear holocaust and death and destruction and burning children and melting flesh. They have reframed it as some sort of an isolated threat from some little piss-ant country like Iran. Not, I mean, piss-ant in the sense of their nuclear program. Will Iran eventually develop nuclear weapons? Of course they will. So will Brazil. So will Venezuela. So will Mexico. And the list goes on and on and on, because what has been established, first by the United States and second by the Soviet Union all those years ago, was the absolute primacy of those nations that control nuclear weapons. Those nations that have them. Those nations that threaten to use them. Keep in mind, Jess, there's only ever been one country in the history of the human race that has used nuclear weapons as an instrument of war, death, and destruction. And that, my friend, is us. So if you're really concerned
about your children. If you really think I should be concerned about my grandchildren, listen, I'm about two generations ahead of you there, pal. But if you're really concerned about all that, then don't let some punk ass like George Bush or this evil bastard Dick Cheney reframe the issue of nuclear death as having something to do with Iran. It doesn't. It has to do with the United States and the former Soviet Union and Great Britain and France and Israel and China and India and Pakistan and whoever else on the down low has decided to go ahead and produce a nuclear arsenal. But it damn sure is not Iran you should be afraid of. It's horrifying. When I hear a call like that, and as far as you're calling Michael Savage is a subhuman. I have no idea what your conversation was with him was like, and I frankly don't care. I wouldn't call Michael Savage Michael Wiener for the time of day. He's a bigger psychopath than Bush. But my God, if you're going to be concerned, and you should be, about nuclear weapons and megadeth and thermonuclear war, for God's sake, don't let these people reframe the issue as to having something to do with Iran. It has squat to do with Iran. And everything to do with us. Our good friend Ben Birch is calling from Elgin, Illinois. Hey, Ben, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. One thing I think people have to understand very clearly, and I've worked in the nuclear power industry, is that any really sharp graduate with a bachelor's degree in physics and a buddy of his with a bachelor's degree in chemistry could set up a nuclear weapons program.
Right.
That's all true. Of the necessary information is out there. You don't need high-speed centrifuges. All you need is a thing called a calutron, and that only takes electricity and a little bit of patience, like, 15, 20 years to make a bomb out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Any nation that wanted to could put a covert weapons program in a large warehouse.
God.
And so the concept that we are going to go to war with a nation because they might possibly know how to make an atom bomb is ridiculous, because there is probably not a nation on the earth, with the exception of some of the poorest, that doesn't have a physicist who could do the job.
Mm-hmm.
It's once you know how to make them, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
No, that's true. They can't be unmade, and the technology can't be made to go away.
We can't forget it. Most of what you need, you can find on the internet, and absolutely, you have to weed through a lot of junk, but the right information is out there. No, you're not going to make an H-bomb. That's something that probably does take a fair amount of advanced simulation, or at least a lot of brain. Because remember, the reason the Russians had big rockets was because the Russians didn't know how to make a small H-bomb. That's the reason the whole space race happened and the Russians were ahead of us, was because, we had Dr. Edward Teller and they didn't.
Right, right.
And it was the entire difference. Making a tiny H-bomb that you can deliver is very difficult, and that information is not out there yet.
Well, the whole subject just gives me the absolute creeping willies anyway.
When I was in eighth grade, okay, this was 1972. I was a member of Pugwash. I was getting all their literature. I was getting the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientist, because I was scared to death.
Yeah.
That one fine morning I was going to wake up and there'd be a bright flash in the east.
Yeah, right. Oh, God.
I literally believed that that was how I was going to end my days.
I know. know. You know, I've said it before on this program. You probably have even heard it. You know, we when I was a kid, my brothers and sister and I used to play a game called Flash of Light.
Yep.
And the way the game worked was, no matter where we were at any given time during the day, if we were together, all we had to say was Flash of Light. And the last one of us kids on the ground with our head tucked under our arms was the loser. You know, the object was to hit the deck and cover your head because a nuclear bomb just went off. Now, of course, we were told that that's how you protect yourself. You just, you know, fall down, get under your desk if you're at school, or get close to a building if you're outside, or put your little sister on top of you, and you'll be okay. So it's, you know, oh my God.
Yep. Act like a turtle.
That's
you take
right.
care now.
Thanks, Ben. Take care of yourself. Act like it. What was that, the turtle song?
There was a turtle and his name was Bert.
That's
and
right.
Bert knew how to keep from getting hurt
Bert.
Or something like that.
Bert
just
the
duck
turtle.
And cover.
Duck and cover. Oh, it's so fun. You know, Molly lives in a world that is in one sense in just way more dangerous than back in the day when we sang Duck and Cover. Although, after 19... I should ask Ben, when did the Ruskies get the thermonuclear weapon? In 53, I think. Sometime in the 50s. But the little Duck and Cover cartoons, you can still get them on the internet. Just go to Google and type in Duck and Cover. And look at the films that we used to look at back in elementary school. It's just like unbelievable. But Molly lives in a world 1,000 times more dangerous than that one. And you know how we cope and how Jess will learn to cope? It's called denial. And it's a great ego defense mechanism that evolution has made sure we're very familiar with. Because if we didn't have denial, well, we'd just curl up in a little ball of human DNA and wait until we disappeared. Oh, God, you found it. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Novam Radio.
The turtle was very alert. When danger threatened him, he never got hurt. He knew just what to do. He ducked and covered. Ducked and covered.
He did what we all must learn to do.
You and you
and you
and you.
Be sure and remember what Bert the Turtle just did, friends, because every one of us must remember to do the same thing.
Remember what to do, friends. Now tell me right out loud. What are you supposed to do when you see the flash?
It's about 10 before the hour. To Scott and Federal Way, I didn't catch it, pal, but you're wrong on the Edwards thing. I've gotten about 7 or 8 emails here. Here's a couple examples from John in Tempe, Arizona. The last caller's wrong. Edwards was out of the Senate when Bush's bankruptcy bill came before the Senate. Obama is the guy that voted for the bankruptcy bill. And Ralph in Charlotte, North Carolina? Or is it? Yeah, North Carolina, I guess. Hey, Mike, to correct the caller, if I understood him correctly, John Edwards did not vote for the bankruptcy bill. He had already left the Senate. Senator Obama did vote for it. So, Scott, you got a strike there on the Edwards thing. Thanks to the crew tonight. Easy night tonight, huh, guys? No server follow-ups, AT&T collapses. Huh? Just smooth sailing, right? Program was engineered by Ian Huff at our flagship station in Phoenix, KPHX. Did I get that right? He also answered your calls. Billy Foster is the technical director of this program and the network. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Irvin is calling from Texas, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Irvin, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mr. Mike?
I'm doing fine.
Mr. Mike, first of all, I'd like to say your call screener, if the Democratic Party has somebody like him as passionate and they propose a challenge, maybe the Democratic Party will do a lot better than what they're doing now. I kind of like your call screen. It's very passionate what he believes in.
Okay, I'm not, you probably know more about that than I do. I just know that he used to be a member of the Communist Youth Organization, and at one time he was a Catholic priest, and before that, believe it or not, he drove a Greyhound bus. That's about all I know about him.
Oh, okay. Well, he's an intelligent individual. So
well, good. Well, good. Now, what you really called about, Irvin?
No, what I called about, first of all, I'm an African-American conservative, more of a Reaganite. I just wanted to comment on a couple of things that you said. You asked the gentleman, I believe another conservative, well, why should we worry about Iran? Well, let me let you know, I live in El Paso, Texas. I don't know if you've been keeping up, but basically El Paso, Texas is like a war zone, and that's where they're coming through.
Now, well, that's where, who's coming through? The Iranians?
Yeah, I'll get to
oh,
that.
Oh, Jesus, get rid of this guy quick.
Hold on.
Get rid of him quick. Jesus Christ, I don't want to be infected by this. Whatever he's got, get out of here!
He caught Candy Crowley's virus from the plane.
I live in El Paso, Texas, and we got a war zone down here. That's where they're coming through. Who's coming through? The Iranians? Yeah.
They'll have nukes in 10 or 20 years down there in Mexico, Mexico.
Oh, my God! Where did that guy come from? I'm an African-American conservative Reaganite. No, you're not! You're a gently stewed rhubarb stalk! Good God. Jake is calling from Eureka, California, listening on KGOE. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
You are.
Yeah, you know, those right-wing callers, they need to get a clue.
That guy was not right-wing or left-wing. He was just deep in some kind of a, I don't know, a little time-space continuum where mice run around. I have no idea. But what you
yeah,
really...
I guess you got to be worried about the Iranians coming across the Mexican border. Oh,
yeah,
no.
for sure.
You know, that song, Duck and Cover?
Yeah.
You know, Duck and Cover should be the theme song for Rudy Giuliani's presidential campaign. You know, I mean, as badly as he wants to bomb Iran. And just look at Bush. He's been lying to the public for the past 4 years.
Five, six, seven, 8 years. 9 years.
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah,
but this whole thing about weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, about the Iranian thing? Yeah, he's been lying through his teeth. Sure.
Exactly. And this is just another reason why the Democrats, if they had a backbone, should impeach Bush regardless of whether or not they can remove him. The fact that he's been lying, getting this country into war after war, that is reason enough to impeach anybody. And the fact that the Democrats don't do it shows they have no backbone, and any member of the House of Representatives who is opposed to impeachment is opposed to the Constitution, Mike.
Well, that's the truth.
Absolutely.
Because the Constitution has demands, it has requirements. If we're going to say that the Constitution is how we're constituted and then not live by it, what does that make us?
Exactly. And I'll tell you, I did some research. My congressman, a blue dog Democrat by the name of Mike Thompson here on the north coast of California, he originally voted against the war in 2002, but every single funding bill that comes along, he votes in favor of it. He's also opposed to impeachment. And I went on OpenSecrets.org. It's a great site, OpenSecrets.org. I found out, you know, this guy's taking money from Lockheed Martin.
Well, sure.
Of course. So this explains it. These people are taking money, Republicans and Democrats, from these military-industrial companies and voting to fund this damn war, and why are we surprised it keeps on going?
I know. It's enough to make a grown man cry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, we need to get there and fight and at least, you know, try to vote some of these idiots out of office next time around.
I hear you. Jake, always good to hear from you. Take care, all right?
Thanks, Mike.
All right, man. We'll talk the next time. Take care. Take care. You make a grown man cry. Whole different context, I know. That's it for tonight. Thanks for hanging out, spending some time with us tonight. Do be careful wherever you are, especially if you're in the upper western part of the country. Our listeners around Oregon and Washington, watch out. Be especially careful, okay? So take care. Keep it lit. I'll see you tomorrow night. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.